Shall we begin?
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed.com.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel, and welcome to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. We're talking women's college basketball, and on game day, it is very, very nice of Coach Tony Bazella of Seton Hall University to join us. Coach, welcome back to Dishin' and Swishin'. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
David, you guys know this is one of my favorite shows. I love listening to all the podcasts. You guys do all a great job.
Well, Tony, I appreciate the kind words, but let's start right off the top. Let's talk about the voters. I was very disappointed and expressed so on Twitter yesterday when the AP poll came out and found that while some of the people that actually watch a lot of the games, like a Rebecca Lobo and a LaChyna Robinson, all put Seton Hall in the top 25, there were too many people that didn't pay attention to the Pirates, and you guys are still bubbling under the bottom. You know,
yeah.
It's got to be a little bit frustrating, but still it's nice to see you're getting some acknowledgement at least.
Well, yeah, you know, and we made a great point. You know, when I took over this program a couple of years ago, we were having this discussion that we were a little bummed that we were 26th in the country. We started laughing at each other. So, you know, it is. And people like LaChyna have covered us twice away this year and saw how well we played against two very good teams in Rutgers and Princeton. But like I said to the girls, listen, just keep playing well and you know, and you'll get the notoriety. And we still are right now. The thing that bothers me in the women's game now is, and what I do like is Doug Feinberg from the AP posted everybody that voted. I don't know how one voter could vote for Princeton to be in the top 25 and then not vote for us at all. Like, that shocks me. I'm like, we won. You know what I mean? And that's the only thing that bothers you. Listen, if they don't want to put us in and they put other teams in, you know, that we haven't beaten or played, then that's their prerogative. But to put a team in there above us that we have beaten this year is just not, you're not paying attention at that point. And then, you know, that's what makes the polls a little, you know, disappointing when people who are voters don't, you know what, watch the game or know what they're doing. But at the end of the day, us being even considered is a long, long step for where we came from. And we know we have a long journey. So at the end of the year, we want to still be one of those teams being considered.
And on the same note, you know, like you said, you would have been chuckling about the thought about even laughing about being number 26. How about being the absolute pinnacle of New Jersey, beating Rutgers and Princeton this year, both scoring over 70 against both of them? You know, very nice wins, you know, very impressive wins, especially the Rutgers performance I thought was outstanding.
Thank you. You know, they both were. And I give both coaches credit. You know, we're trying to form a little group here that we play each other every year and both agreed, and it's great. We just played really well, David. I'm not going to lie. I thought being at home was a huge advantage for us. We had two great crowds in our small little gym, and It was an amazing atmosphere, and I think the kids really fed off of that. And, you know, against Rutgers, we just came out and we defended really well, which turned into a lot of offensive opportunities. And Princeton was just a tough physical game. That was, a really competitive game. And, you know, a couple of their kids didn't shoot the ball as well, and we made a couple of big shots when we needed to.
You know, and one of the other reasons I wanted to have you on this early, and the team is off to this great success. Yeah, last year I was on record. I was very impressed with the team, but I had said all along that I thought that last year was a window of opportunity because of the fact that you had the grad students that were there and the seniors that were there, and you lost four of your five starters. But I wanted to make sure that I brought you back just to eat a little bit of crow, too, and talk about this program and the fact that you got four new starters. Now, granted, Tiffany Jones played a lot last year as well, and you do have the grad student in Shakina Richardson from Florida State. But still, putting in four new starters, not skipping a beat, winning those early big games, that's what good programs do. And that's something that you clearly are well on your way to forming a good program, not just a good team.
And those are the words we use, and I appreciate that. But I agreed with you. Last year was a great window of opportunity. Everything fell into place. We had, you know, kids that had played together a while, only 1 year into my system, but still had played together, you know, about against in a different system, but they had played together, and I think that was important. I think adding a kid like Deja, who's just an electric player, was really beneficial. You know, we lost one of our stars in the NBA, and we still had a very good backup to be able to put in. So everything fell into place. You know, our schedule wasn't quite as challenging, not league wise. So we got some wins that were good, and even the good teams that we beat, Georgia and Illinois, you know, struggled as the season went on. So I don't, you know, everything fell into place really well. We won a lot of close games, and we were very talented, very experienced. But this year's team, I think, came in with a little chip on their shoulder because, you know, they want to prove it. And we've always talked about when we took over at Seton Hall, listen, I'm in here for the long run. I'm not looking to leave tomorrow for any other job. This is my dream job. And we wanted to build a program. It's not about team. And obviously, I benefited greatly from Shekinah, you know, in Florida State and wanting to come back. But I think some of that had to do with Deja being as successful as she was. You know, after we got the release, Deja's mom talked to Shekinah's family, and Deja talked to Shen. And I think that means you have a program. They're supporting each other. And then I think also, you know, a kid like Dee Dee Simmons, you know, was so invested in the program. Shekinah talked to Shekinah. They're all Jersey kids. I mean, that was important. And then secondly, getting a kid like Alicia Powell to Levi Ono, where she was an all-conference player, even though it was a different level. But to come here and have faith in me as a coach and practice against these guards all year, you know, she's got a lot of experience out there. And then obviously Tab is a tremendous player, and Liberty Gordon have worked so hard over summer to get a lot better and prove everyone that they wanted to be a better, you know, players than they were last year. So that's helped us a lot.
And you mentioned, you know, you got the Jersey kids, and that's the other thing that is so key to having a program grow, is to get the people that stay home. And, you know, last week I had Kevin McGuff on talking about how he was bringing the Ohio kids in now to Ohio State, and you've got the Jersey and Pennsylvania kids that are starting to come and look at Seton Hall as a serious option, and then Tiffany Jones from New York. You know, again, same thing, all signs of a program that's on the upswing, and being able to convince them that they don't have to go far to be able to play quality basketball and get noticed.
Right, in the top 25 quality basketball, we hope. And even, David, even on the way back, the most disappointing day of my Seton Hall career was a couple of years ago, my first year, when we played against St. John's in our gym. And we had lost to them in their gym by maybe 8 or 10 points early in January. And you know, it was a good game. I thought, you know, coming in, I thought we'd have a chance to beat them. They had, you know, had a great program at that point, and had the second best team in our league. And they came in, and more than half the crowd, and we had a good crowd, it was over 1,000 people. Back then, that was a good crowd. But the problem was over half the people were cheering for them because they had 4 starting players from New Jersey within 30 minutes of Seton Hall. And when I took this job, I said, we have to keep these kids home. And that was a depressing day. And I said that to the media after. I said, I'm not depressed we lost or we got dominated. I'm depressed because we played an away game in our home gym. And we vowed to keep fighting. And, you know, when Deja chose us over St. John's when she came back, and when Shekinah chose us over a lot of other schools when she came back, it validated what we talked about. And we've recruited a lot of Jersey kids now. We haven't gotten as many as we would have liked, but we're hoping on the rebound we're going to have that opportunity as well.
And then let's specifically start talking about some of these kids. You know, you mentioned Tabitha. Let's talk about TRS, Tabitha Richardson-Smith. You know, last year led the team at around 17, I think, points per game. She's only raised it to about 19 points a game this year, hitting almost 50% of her threes, you know, just doing it all on the court, and just a phenomenally talented player.
She is, and she's gotten a lot better. Her defense is, you know, exceedingly better, thankfully. Her rebounding numbers are going to continue to even improve more. And she has not shot the ball well from two-point range at all. And she'll tell you, she goes, you know, that's not me. I can make these shots. I'm getting great work. I'm just missing. So I'm excited for that. And do I expect her to shoot as well from three? Maybe not as well, but close, because she's worked hard and she's practiced. And, you know, she really, really, I think, is a kid who has to be considered for All-American at some point, and clearly in my mind is the first-round WNBA draft choice.
And then on top of that, we mention her, and then let's talk about this week's Big East Player of the Week, Tiffany Jones, who was a little bit inconsistent last year, but gave quality minutes off the bench. But this year, you know, where's this three-point shooting coming from out of Tiffany? She's been unconscious, 11 of 19 from three, 58% so far, 64% overall from the floor. She, you know, clearly she was the player of the week in the Big East for a good reason.
What I love about you and everyone that does Dish and Switch, and the amount of homework and the amount of studying that you guys do, and you're right and about Tiffany 100%. The thing about Tiffany last year was she had to sit out the first half of the year for academic to get academic issues stemming from junior college. So she didn't get to play in those 7 or 8 or 9 non-league games where, you know, you can make mistakes and you do things. She got thrust into, I think her first game was Georgia. So she got thrust into that. And that's what I think led to a lot of her inconsistency last year. You know, she didn't get those other, non-league games to work out the kinks. So all of a sudden she's in the league and, the rope is a little tighter and we pulled her out a little quicker on one mistake because, league games, she didn't want to take that chance. But she dedicated herself to her conditioning first and foremost with our strength coach, Ryan Carr. And then just her dedication. She works a lot with Coach Smart, my assistant coach, on shooting the ball and handling the ball. And then, Coach DeFalco really worked with her a little bit on getting ready and being set when she shoots the ball. And she takes all that. And we're blessed at Seton Hall. We have the opportunity to give those kids an opportunity to stay here for the summer. And she stood here for all three summer sessions, got over a 3.0, and probably shot 200 to 300 three-pointers, let alone all the other shots, a day in the gym, and I think it showed.
That certainly is. That shows you the type of kids, that want to improve, like you said, putting in that in the classroom and on the court. And that's great to see as a coach, I'm sure, to get that kind of student-athlete that wants to succeed in all facets of life, because this isn't just about basketball.
No, it's not. And she's come from a very difficult home life. She's lost both her parents, and she lost a few brothers through, tragedies through her career, and she could have packed it in, and she didn't. It's made her a stronger woman, and I give her a lot of credit. She's had some great mentors in her life. Apache Pascal, one of the great AAU legends, was a great mentor to her, and when he passed away, that was very devastating for her as well. But, Coach Joan Smart on my staff is almost like a mother to her, and has really taken her under her wing and really helped her a lot. And, it's people like Coach Joan Smart that, she's really gravitated to, as opposed to gravitating to people that maybe it wasn't the best people to. And I give Tiffany, the player, a lot of credit. And I give, her many accolades, like you said, not just for on the court, but off the court as well.
Well, Coach, on the court, let's get back to that for a second. And, now this is being recorded Wednesday morning, shoot-around day time, because you've got a game against UT Arlington. Hey, at least you get to tell the kids that they're playing in a WNBA arena tonight.
That's exactly right, which is a beautiful arena, David. Oh, my goodness, it's the state-of-the-art. It's fantastic. And we're excited to play them, and then obviously we get on a plane tomorrow morning to go to Cancun.
There are worse places to spend Thanksgiving,
yes.
I would say, especially since it's gotten freaking cold up here in the Northeast the last few days.
Yes, I saw that.
So, and there you'll be playing both two competitive teams, North Carolina State and Northern Iowa. Northern Iowa should not be looked down upon by anybody. They're always a tough team. And, then it's back to Georgia, as you had mentioned before. You had played them last year as well. So, the next few games are certainly, before you hit league play, they're nothing to sneeze at.
No, and tonight, first and foremost, in Texas Orange, and they have they're very well coached. Krista Gerlich's in her third year. She came from West Texas A&M, where, she built a team that lost in the national championship game the year after she left. So she had a lot. She's done a great job. They play very good defense. They control the tempo. It's gonna be a good challenge for us, because I think this is maybe the best defensive team we've faced so far in our five games, in terms of just disciplining and having a plan. And then obviously North Carolina State undefeated from the ACC, which will be, obviously a tremendous challenge. And then, Northern Iowa is one of the top mid-major programs in the country. And coming from the mid-major ranks like I did for 13 years, I have the utmost respect for that, for those kids. And they shoot over 33s a game, so it's going to be tough for us.
Well, then the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, Coach, before I let you go for today is, we've had some discussions the last few weeks with the different coaches that we've had on here about the transfers that are going on around the country, what I've been calling the transfer epidemic of, players that have come and gone from various schools, for some with cause, some for, unknown causes or unknown reasons. And, you're a program that has benefited from some of these roles, notably the graduate students being able to come in and play right away. it just seems like things are a little bit strange the way that it's going. It seems like there's an awful lot of transfers going on. You know, and we're talking about building a program as you're trying to do. It's difficult when you've got kids that you're not that you're committed to them, but you got to wonder sometimes if they're 100% committed to you.
It's a great, great question, and obviously I've benefited tremendously from obviously getting Deja and Shakina as grad students, and we've had certain amount of students. And honestly, David, I'll be straight and honest with everyone. We intend on getting 1 to 2 transfers a day a year now because of the fact of all these kids leaving. And I think a big part of it is the NCAA, of course, a major problem, but, you know, allowing all these juniors to be recruited so early and then those juniors making decisions and making decisions a year, 2 years before they're even going to college, and they're making decisions at 15 years old. I mean, it's terrible. It's just out of control. It's bad. And it conveys to, they go to a situation where maybe 2 years ago the team didn't have a point guard. Now they get there, the team got a transfer point guard. Now they're sitting behind that kid and they're sitting here, and then, you know, the coaches maybe aren't as successful as they were then or more successful, and it's not what they were recruited to 2 years ago. And it's a problem. But, you know, the NCAA could fix this by allowing less visits as juniors, not doing home visits as juniors, and, you know, kind of not even having all these official visits as juniors. Let these kids take official visits, you know, later on. And, you know, they're making all these kids decide early, and it stinks. And I say to my staff all the time, take your time. We're not interested in signing every single kid, you know, getting a million junior commitments. We don't. We have no junior commitments now, and that's honestly the way I like it, because I think it's way too hard. And, you know, I think they could fix this. I think with the graduate rule, though, I'll be honest with you, the kid's put her time in. She's got her degree. If the coach at that point has changed or has a different system, or, you know, listen, we came from two different things. Deja Simmons came from Alabama, where she was not recruited at all by Coach Curry and, you know, fulfilled her obligation. They hadn't had much success. She had been away from home. She said, listen, I want to come home, and, you know, I think I did what I was supposed to with you. I got my degree. You didn't have my master's program. And, you know, honestly, I didn't have that same bond with you because you didn't recruit me. You know, obviously, Shakina's a little different. She was recruited, you know, she started at Rutgers and then went to, you know, Florida State. And Sue did a great job and has done a great job as well. And, you know, went to the Elite Eight last year, and Shakina graduated. And, you know, it came to the point of, you know what, you don't have my exact major either. And you got an international kid that came in that's a transfer that you know, wasn't there when I came, but you brought in. And, you know, I want to have one last opportunity to play in front of my family and play a lot. So, you know, and Sue was great in her staff. They understood. They were disappointed. They didn't want Shakina to leave, but they also understood Shakina's point. And, you know, they got to bring in Romero as a transfer, mm-hmm. which they didn't expect. And, you know, Keena's like, listen, I graduated and you don't have, you know, my major in addition to I'm going to be a backup now. So, you know, we benefited. I think the grad thing is okay. I'm concerned about the other transfers, and we are honestly just recruiting based on that. We always leave a couple scholarships open because, you know what, all these kids are leaving.
Yep, I agree 100% with everything you said, especially in the circumstances when a coach leaves. If a coach leaves, then to me all bets are off, because the kid went there partially for the academics, of course, but also for the coach. And if a coach leaves, you know, that to me is a totally different story.
I wouldn't be against, if a coach leaves, that kid being able to transfer and be eligible immediately because of the fact of this is not fair. You know, I was recruited by Coach Vizella to Iona, and he left. I mean, like now I'm going to play for a new person, a new system, new way of life. This might not be what I want. So, yes, I think there should be a moratorium. No one can leave until the new coach is hired, and that coach gets the opportunity to speak to that kid. But after that, why should that kid have to stay and play? I know, you go for the school. You don't go for the school 100%. You go for the coaching as well and the program. And so I think we should even take a look at that eventually. You know, if someone leaves, why not let those kids who were recruited by that person transfer and be eligible right away?
I agree with you, Coach. Well, Coach, you know, congratulations for the great start. I think that you should be in the top 25 this week. You continue these winning ways. There's no doubt you'll be in it next week. I want to wish you a little bit of a belated happy birthday, and I hope you and the team have a wonderful Thanksgiving in Mexico.
Thank you. And I want to wish you, obviously, a happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays. But all the people who listen, I mean, we're blessed in women's basketball to have people like yourself and your whole program to generate time and stuff for this, because this is important. If we're going to grow our game, we need to be very accessible and be very honest with people like yourself. We can't just always be all fluff. Listen, you know, it's got to be honest, and I appreciate you taking the time. You know I'm a big fan. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Coach. You take care. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.